You're listening to Linux News Log, separating the Linux and open source signal from the noise.
Hey everybody, how's it going? I am your host Adrian, coming to you almost live from lovely Studio MC2 at QuickSurf Internet Studios here in Petaluma, California. Linux News Log is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Do feel free to head on over to techpodcast.com and check out all the other technology-related shows over there as well. I'd like to encourage everybody to visit us online over at quicksurf.com. You can subscribe to the show. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a link up above me that allows you to subscribe to the show. Otherwise, if you want to subscribe to a downloadable video or MP3 or OGV Orbis, head on over to the website over at quicksurf.com, and the show notes for every episode has links to subscribe to whatever format you desire. So feel free to head on over. You can also shoot me an email, linux@quicksurf.com. And with that, let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode. Starting off over at gamasutra.com, THQ is considering Linux ports as a new revenue source. THQ president Jason Rubin is weighing up the pros and cons of releasing games for Linux. This is following the success of the THQ Humble Bundle, and he says that he's been inundated with requests for Linux versions of THQ games and that the company is now considering Linux ports in the future. So this is pretty exciting. This is kind of following in the wake of what Valve is doing with their Steam platform, and we've got a couple of updates for that here on this next story. The next story that we have over at geek.com is Steam for Linux opens public beta this week. So previously, Steam had kind of a private beta going on, about 5,000 or 6,000 users that were beta testing Steam. Well, this week they are now publicly opening that up. So the beta program is open to anybody who wants to try it out. Pretty awesome. If you're a Steam user and an avid Linux gamer, this is definitely something to check out. Steam has all the best stuff out there. So pretty neat. A story that I ran across from Linux.com, author Gabriel Coleman expands on role of Linux and hacker culture. This is an interview. For those of you who don't know who Gabriel Coleman is she's the Wolf Chair in Scientific and Technological Literacy at McGill University. She just recently released a book entitled Coding Freedom, The Ethics and Aesthetics of Hacking. She basically spent 3 years here in the Bay Area working and living with hackers, and she was studying the Debian Linux community. And so this interview from Linux.com with her is basically talking about her experience in relation to that, as well as some insights that she's kind of come away with as a result of her experience working on the book. So pretty interesting read. By all means, check it out. From the VAR guy, Canonical, we know that there's a big rohaha going on with Stallman harshing on Ubuntu. Well, Canonical is supplying some tools for Linux evangelists. Ubuntu may not be quite a religion, but it has its committed evangelists all the same. And now Canonical has made their jobs easier with the release of an official Ubuntu advocacy development kit. Will Ubuntu fans soon be showing up on your doorstep asking you to convert? God, I hope not. Not that I'm, anti-Ubuntu or anything, but probably not. But the move is an interesting endeavor nonetheless. So as Jono Bacon, the official community manager for the Ubuntu world, explained recently on his blog, he and others conceptualized the advocacy development kit as everything you need to get started spreading the word about Ubuntu. This includes posters, tips on evangelizing Ubuntu as a platform, and instructions for forming and administering loco teams, the groups of Ubuntu enthusiasts organized at the local level. So the kit has become available as a PPA for those of you who want to install it. Obviously, this is something separate from what kind of the has been going on with Canonical and Ubuntu with regards to the what many are terming spyware, which is part of the search functionality in Ubuntu. I've made my position on it pretty clear. It doesn't really matter what Canonical or Ubuntu is going to do. It's up to each individual person to choose what works for them and what does not. So anyway, check out the story for those of you who are evangelists, if that's what you call yourselves. This is something you definitely want to look at. From ZDNet over in the Linux blog, goodbye 386. Linux is going to drop support for i386 chips with the next major release. This is bad news on the nostalgia front, but it's good news in terms of reducing code complexity. The 386 has been around for what, 26 years, 27 years, something like that. I mean, come on. How many people really still run actively 386s today that they want to load a modern Linux kernel on? Not a lot. So, this is one of those things where it's great to have, lots of backwards compatibility, but 27 years of backwards compatibility, that's pretty good by many standards. In fact, that's pretty darn good by every standard I can think of. So, if they drop i386 support and it's now only 486 or, Pentium or something along those lines support, that's good. That means that we'll have, I've developed software for a very long time, both commercially and open source projects. And the one thing that I always espouse is the best optimization you could possibly do is to reduce code complexity and the amount of code that runs. Because the less code you have, the less code there is to execute. Unless this generally applies, unless you have less code, implementing an algorithm that's inferior, that can shoot you in the foot. But generally speaking, if you can reduce the code size base or the code base size, the software will generally run more efficiently and faster. And so if you can reduce some complexity in the code base by dropping support for a 27-year-old processor, by all means, go for it. That's all I have to say about it. From Ars Technica, Linux 3.7 has been released, bringing generic ARM support with it. Linux Torvalds has officially announced that 3.7 of the Linux kernel has gone stable. That means good news for developers who work with ARM-based CPUs. It's the first Linux kernel to include generic support for multiple ARM CPU architectures, reducing the amount of effort required to get Linux-based operating systems running on phones, tablets, and ARM-licensed developer boards like the Raspberry Pi. This is good news. This is awesome news. I'll be looking forward to what comes of this. Obviously good things. From the honline.com, Freescale and others have joined the Linux Foundation. There have been 5 new members, including embedded processor maker Freescale. Freescale is saying that the Linux Foundation hosts important embedded work such as the Yocto project in collaboration with Open Embedded, so its membership and an increase in contributions to the ecosystem is a natural move. Consultancy Amarella Solutions has also joined, along with Sim Technologies, Superb Internet Corporation, and Symphony Telica Corporation. So pretty interesting. Definitely check it out. That will do it for this episode of Linux News Log. As always, everything we've talked about is linked up in the show notes. You can find those online over at quicksurf.com. And do please subscribe to the show if you have not already done so. And I will see all of you on the next episode. I'll see you then. Bye.